WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
And a very good evening. It is me. And it's also Brian's Beat, the original show, born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. And true to ABC form, I will be one of those hitting that 50-plus mark for the holidays, but I won't be leaving until Thursday morning. Slight change in our Thanksgiving plan, but I think things have been worked out and might entail a little extra driving, but what the hey. Family is family, and that's what we're going to do. How are you this Monday evening as we inch closer and closer to Thanksgiving? Oh, I can, you know, it's like the turkey wing is in my hand right now, and I'm ready to go. Never mind. Let me get myself composed here. First of all, the Brian's Beat quote of the day. Progress is a nice word, but change is its motivator. And change has its enemies. Progress is a nice word, but change is its motivator. And change has its enemies. Bobby Kennedy. Not to be confused with RFK Jr., the father of RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy, with our quote today. So little time and a few things to cover. I already did one of them already. I'm going to be one of the 73.2 million people that are going to be doing that 50-mile thing. No biggie. I like to drive. Here's what I don't like, and it's pitting me against someone that I kind of don't care about against somebody that I really don't care about. I don't know if you've been following at all the Marjorie Taylor Greene has pretty much decided she's not going to run for re-election. Not only that, she is stepping out of Congress effective the first week of January. She has a full term. She could run for yet another term, and it might be a tight race. And she might win, she might lose. But she has decided to throw in the towel. She did it over the weekend, I think really Friday, announcing that she just didn't want to put up with the primary fight, which we call being primaried. Anyway, the president has responded. He talked to reporters, but as usual, he decided to go to Truth Social. Marjorie Traitor Brown. That's what he called her. Marjorie Traitor Brown. Marjorie Taylor Greene has been, if not his number one proponent, pretty darn close to it. And they've had a disagreement over a couple of issues. Now she's a traitor. Anyway, this is what the president wrote. Marjorie, in quotes, Traitor Brown. By the way, Brown would be what happens to your lawn when you get scorched. Because of plummeting poll numbers, which, to the best of my knowledge, has not happened, and not wanting to face a primary challenger with a strong Trump endorsement, where she would have no chance of winning, has decided to call it quits. Her relationship with the worst Republican congressman in decades, Tom Massey of Kentucky, also known as Rand Paul Jr., because he votes against the Republican Party and really good legislation, did not help her. The rest is more drivel. And he gets into the part where he says he also believes that she quit because he wouldn't return her phone calls. I did hear that she was bombing his phone, but we're talking about the President of the United States. How do you really bomb his phone? It's not like my cell phone and it's, you know, somebody calling me and I decide not to answer it. You know, to get to the president, you have to go through a barrage of secretaries and whatevers. But anyway, I believe she made the calls. I believe she was going to try to say, hey, if I don't get any type of endorsement from you, I'm going to call it quits. I'm not quite sure who benefits in this particular case. In the immediate, the Republicans lose out because there's no one in the seat to replace Marjorie Taylor Greene for a period of time. And so that's one less vote in a House of Representatives that's already pretty darn tight. It's my understanding the district that Marjorie Taylor Greene represents is pretty strong Republican, so there's a good chance that a Republican will win in 2026. But Marjorie Taylor Greene had what you would want to call the super support. And some of that super support may erode because of the way President Trump, whose approval ratings go down day in and day out. You know, when he says that's going to have a strong Trump endorsement, well, he may strongly endorse the person. It doesn't mean that the people of that district are going to be as receptive to that strong endorsement. Marjorie Taylor Greene, for whatever you might say about her on the negative side, she really seems to be pro-United States of America. And I think that President Trump should want to respect that because in a district pro-Republican, pro-MAGA, like the one that Marjorie Taylor Greene comes from, if you start calling her a traitor, well, what are those people going to think? And as lame as this president is at this particular time, because he got smoked 3 weeks ago. He got smoked in the off-year elections. You call it off-year. I mean, I think it was a mandate saying, hey, we've had enough of this guy already. But be that as it may, to really be coming out hard and heavy on Marjorie Taylor Greene, a staunch supporter. I don't know. I can see why more and more Republicans, prominent Republicans, start to peel away. That's just me. That's just my thought in that particular case. All right, 508-996-0500 if you care to respond. Look, all opinions welcome in that particular case or the one that we just brought up. You may or may not have heard me on for Barry again today. One of the stories I brought up dealt with Governor Healey signing a bill on Wednesday last, which is basically establishing a Veterans Suicide Awareness and Remembrance Day. I'm not against the Remembrance Day. What I'm against is I don't see, in this particular case, the Healey administration or Bacon Hill lawmakers really trying to do something about reducing the number of veteran suicides here in the Commonwealth. And what I did is I pulled the bill that was unanimously supported by the House of Representatives and the State Senate. I've got the House version right here. The governor shall annually issue a proclamation setting apart September 22 as Military Service Members and Veterans Suicide Awareness and Remembrance Day. In recognition and in honor of fallen service members and veterans and their families, to acknowledge that suicide among service members and veterans is an epidemic, to foster awareness of suicide among service members and veterans, and to call for suicide prevention measures for service members and veterans, and thereby to support the service members and veterans who dedicate their lives to protect and to serve our country. Sounds good. But what are you going to do? Look, the federal government, the War Department, the Veterans Administration, they all hum pretty much the same tune. But what are they doing? What's and quite frankly, I do put most of this blame on the shoulders of the federal government, of the Veterans Administration, of the War Department, for not doing more for our veterans. I did talk about this during hour number one. I got a couple of calls, one saying that, you know, there are lots of services for veterans, and if they need to get some help, I even had a person offer to give rides. And I think that's great. Please don't get me wrong. My wonder is more about that soldier. I call that person a soldier still. Are we expecting that veteran to just say, you know, I'm feeling suicidal. I need help right now. Get me there before. I'm sure a couple do. But not enough. And more to not enough is being done by the War Department, the Veterans Administration, and now almost doubling down, the Healey administration and this bill. Again, I wish the bill said that we're going to open up more clinics. We're going to fund this. We see this as one of the problems, and this is how we're going to try to stop it. Nothing. They can come up with legislation to stop people from texting while driving. That's something. I might not agree with it, but at least it's something. Here, just a bunch of blank words. And it's very frustrating. It's frustrating to me. I heard from a couple of veterans today. Frustrating to them. One veteran that called earlier today, he was drafted. He says he's lucky, you know, he's got insurance that he has to pay for. He doesn't get any help. Because I guess he made too much money. And look, I get that part. I am still a libertarian inside and out. But especially if you were drafted into the military, you should get the hot dog and the bun. 508-996-0500. That's how you get on. Hello, you're first up.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
I am. How are you?
Not bad. You don't want to get an upset stomach before Thanksgiving.
Why not?
I don't want to see you upset like that.
I'm upset.
You're forgetting the meeting of the century that happened Friday.
Meeting of the century on Friday.
Yeah, the White House. So.
I wasn't around. I was at. I know about it.
And Donald Trump.
It was all right.
It was all right. Now Zoran Mondani said you're going to have to pump up the volume. They have to go get, if they got to get to Mandani, they have to go through the crowd. And Donald Trump said that Zohran is a communist, and he felt that he wouldn't be comfortable living in New York City. So a journalist asked Donald Trump in the Oval Office, and he was sitting down at the desk, and Zohran was to his right standing up, and asked the president, would you feel comfortable living in New York City under Zohran Mandani's mayorship? He said, yeah, I feel comfortable. After this discussion, I see we have more in common. And another journalist asked Zohran Mandani if he still thought the president was a fascist when Donald Trump said, no, well, you don't have to answer that question. He said, you have to be careful when you answer the question. And so he touched on him on his arm, and he didn't end up answering the question. Mandani went on, I believe it was CNN, and told, I was asked, you still believe, this was after his meeting with Trump, you still believe that Donald Trump is a fascist? He said, yes, I do. And he said he was going to say that, but the president didn't allow him to say it in the Oval Office. And the other thing is, I will, you know, you need to play the soundbite. Curtis Sliwa, who ran against Zohran Mandani and Andrew Cuomo. Now, remember, in the New York race, Curtis Sliwa was the Republican.
Yes, he was.
Andrew Cuomo didn't make the cut in the primary, a Democrat.
He ran as a Democrat, and then he ran as an independent.
Yeah, because he got cut from the primary. He went independent. And Donald Trump says, you have to vote for Andrew Cuomo.
Yes, he did.
He was stalling all the Republicans. He didn't even back a true Republican in Curtis Sliwa. So Curtis Sliwa, he made his commentary, it's a brief commentary on the meeting between Zohran and Trump. And he says, you know, both sides are playing us like suckers, basically, so to inflame their base, so that you, instead of picking for to be an American, you have to pick sides. Either you're, you know, a communist, or you got Donald Trump that's a wishy-washy Republican. How a guy
Wait
like
a minute,
Zohran
I thought he was a fascist.
Well, that's what Mandani says, but I say he's wishy-washy. Donald Trump, because he backed a lot of Democrats. He was a Democrat, too.
Yes, he was.
But they try to say, well, Donald Trump's like Ronald Reagan. Not really, because if you look at Donald Trump, he gave a lot of money to Nancy Pelosi's campaign, to Chuck Schumer's campaign, and many other Democrats, Hillary Clinton. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
When Donald Trump did that, he was Donald Trump businessman.
Well, I'm going to tell you, a lot of the MAGAs, Make America Great Again Republicans, they're all up in tizzy because of what he said in the White House.
About what? Who said in the White House?
Well, he says, you know, when you're in politics, when you're running for the campaign.
Who is he?
Donald Trump said.
Okay.
Donald Trump said, you know, when you come into, he was asked about calling Zohran a communist. He says, you know, when you're campaigning, you say things.
Yeah, well, what's he campaigning for?
Well, this is when he was campaigning for
Donald
president.
Trump. Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's not campaigning anymore.
Yeah, right, but I'm saying he didn't back up Curtis Sliwa, Republican.
No. That is open news right there. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He persuaded Republicans not to vote for Curtis and to vote for Andrew Cuomo.
Right. A guy who he badmouthed as governor, because remember all those elderly people during COVID that died in the nursing homes? And then he had 13 accusations of harassment as governor of New York. He had to step aside. So, but you play that clip of Curtis Sliwa, he rolls it up in a nutshell. They're both playing us for suckers. You know, one says he's a communist, the other one's a fascist, but yet at the end of the day, they got more in common. It's a lot of hogwash.
Welcome to government. Hey, thanks for the call. Yeah.
All right, Brian.
I do appreciate it. So, fascist, communist, it reminds me of a conversation I was having with Ken Pittman on Saturday. Ken was talking to a listener I was preparing for my show, and he mentions communism, and we were talking about Vietnam, and you know it was a good idea to go after the communists at the beginning. And I was mentioning, no, I don't think it was so much that we wanted to go after the communists. I think that's what we were told. But the idea was to get the hand on the hands on the opium and heroin coming out of Thailand. And it brings to mind this question, because we as in the United States are known as the original and only nation that is truly capitalist. And we have to fight communism, or at least it was thought that we have to fight communism. Well, say whatever you want to say about the former Soviet Union. It is the former Soviet Union, and they're not known as a communist nation anymore. Does it mean they don't have communists? No. But they're not a communist nation anymore. Say whatever you would like to say about communist China. And while they do keep the name communist around, they aren't really communist. I mean, they are pro-business. They do a lot of capitalism as far as their monetary structure is concerned, or their business structure is concerned. And then we've got the United States of America. We're the capitalist. And yet, year in and year out, different magazines, different institutes rate the United States along with 190 some odd countries around the globe. And where the United States of America used to place in the top five when it comes to personal freedoms and economic freedom, we're not there anymore. I'm not going to tell you that China or Russia are in that top tier. But some of the nations that are in the top tier, you would turn around and you would say, wait a minute, isn't that a socialist country? Isn't that one? How does Finland, how does Sweden, how does Norway, how does some of these other countries get rated higher than the United States? And I say this, going back to communists and fascists, if you are 45 years old or older, 45 or older, is the United States of America the same as we were 45 years ago? I'm talking about rules, regulations. Would you say that we are the beacon of freedom that we were 45 years ago? And I say we absolutely are not. And I don't need to see what Cato or Heritage or these magazines living overseas. I don't need to read what they're telling me. I can look at the numbers, and the numbers plainly show economic freedom. We're ranked somewhere around 25th. Personal freedoms, we're in the teens. We used to be in the top five. So whether or not we were trying to fight communism, we have certainly taken on many of the traits of socialism. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. In fact, I think it's going to get worse. Now, we may not want to call it socialism. We may see a Mamdani end up getting elected in New York, and this woman up in Seattle and certain other places. But we're not going to call it socialism, whether it's democratic socialism or not. We don't think that if AOC ends up in a real leadership position, we're not going to call her a democratic socialist, even though she admits to being one. Bernie Sanders. So what's really going on here? What's really happening in the United States? We are picking up those traits, but we don't call it what it is. Are we closer to having a real open market system when it comes to health care? Certainly not here in the Commonwealth, where we have Romney Care, which Obamacare is an offshoot of Romney Care. You think about your banking and know your customer and all the that. Where's that freedom? We've got lawmakers that are trying to make it cost us more money if we want to ship our money overseas. You may like some of these things, you might not, but where's the freedom in that? I don't see it. Now, the Russians may do that. The Chinese may eyeball every dollar and cent that their people make. But isn't that what we would expect of Russia and China? But did you expect that with your own government? I don't, and I didn't, but it's happening time and time again. And quite frankly, you've got a lot of people, yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, they should charge a little bit more. And then on the other side, what about your liberties? Your freedom of movement, your freedom to travel. You might say, well, you can't. Oh, yeah? How many times do you take your shoes off when you're at the airport and stand there and get body scanned? Is that real freedom? Oh, we got to stop the people with the bombs. Don't know too many people that are going to be carrying bombs when they get on the plane. I remember the story about the shoe bomber, but I never saw a bomb within the shoe that he was allegedly trying to spark. We did a quote the other day from Benjamin Franklin talking about people willing to give up their liberties for a modicum of freedom. And what was the end result? Basically, you don't deserve to have the protection or the freedom or the liberty. 508-996-0500. Hello.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Now, you're obviously a man that knows quite a bit about politics, and you chose to be an individual with your party and all. But for the education of the listening audience out there, how would you define the similarity and the differences between communism and socialism, especially needed because all of the NATO countries that we're sworn to defend, they're all socialist countries.
Pretty much.
So how would you define it? Because the president certainly doesn't know how to differentiate between the two. But have you any thoughts on it? Then I have a couple of other things to ask you.
So I think my definition is that the socialist are a little bit more democratic about how they can vote in certain things, where the communists are more a dictatorial type of regime.
And what about how each ideology runs the economy?
Well, they're both, well, the communists are definitely all state oriented, where the socialists, they do have certain things that are market driven, as opposed to, but the government still, it's like you can, how do I explain it? You can be market-driven, but all the money then filters in and the government plays with it before you ever get any of it back.
Well, that could be complicated to attempt to simplify that, But one simplification is that, and you may like this one, is that the real polls between politics is between those who want more freedom. You got your libertarian policy program, and those who want more security. So after World War II, the European states said, we need more security because so many people were killed, injured, invalids, etc., and had less family support as a result. So they have socialist programs to support people for security. And your party has enough security, I guess. So what your party stands for is freedom. But there's many people in this country who are economically insecure, and more with the affordability and the capitalist gouging of rents, etc., have made people feel they want more security. And is that synonymous with more socialism?
Try your question again, please.
Yeah. Is the fact that Americans are insecure, that's more important than that they lack all the freedoms your party would say we should be emphasizing? They want, in that poll between politics of freedom and politics of security, socialism is with security. Does that mean that Americans have to choose between the two, and you can have the freedom to fail? You know, one last point.
Hold that last point. Okay. So you get the freedom to fail by having the freedom to try to fail. Whereas the government is offering a safety net, of which the safety net keeps on getting larger and larger because you need more funds to in the pool in order to make that safety net. And then what happens is you end up getting more regulations in order to make that happen. And so are the people really safe?
Well, are they really safe with no programs? You know, dog eat dog, rat race world. As President Trump says, only the weak will fail with my economic program. Well, there are a lot of weak
people. There are a lot of people that are failing, yes.
Yeah. Now, one last thing. More freedom supposedly means more opportunity. But the latest statistics is that in terms of people rising from whatever socioeconomic situation or class they're in, comparing the socialist countries, they're all in the top 10 where people move up with one job to a better job to a better job. And we're number 14 behind the socialist countries of Europe with more opportunity for self-realization and the pursuit of happiness, because you need money to pursue happiness. There's no doubt about it. Nothing like a good job.
True, I would, and again, it's easy for me to talk like this. I would say that I'm going to use Norway, if I can, for an example. You have such a small population and a very homogeneous type of population that everybody kind of seems to be on the same page, and they have grown up that the people that are alive today really don't know any other type of system. Whereas in the United States, there are plenty of people that knew much more freedom than we have right now. And you have people acting out because they don't have that freedom.
Or maybe they're acting out because they don't really have security.
Acting out because you don't have security?
Sure. If you're insecure, you can go batty. You can decide to rob a bank, for example.
Oh, but isn't that committing a crime?
Yeah, but that's freedom to commit a crime, isn't it?
No.
Anybody can make a choice that's free, even if it's a bad choice.
And that strays away from the philosophy of the United States. You're not supposed to harm others, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, well, the robber barons of the 1890s, They were harming lots of people.
Yes, they were.
Rockefeller had legs broken of oil competitors in Pennsylvania to rise. So,
but is that freedom? Is that capitalism?
Well, what's the moral authority in capitalism? It's the bottom line, the buck, the dividend, etc.
Not when you are harming others. We have laws against harming others. And
well,
so
there's plenty of loopholes in them for capitalists, as you know.
You know what?
How about this fentanyl drug that killed, 2 million people? That pharmaceutical organization, 2 million people overdosed on their pain-killing drug, and they just got to go out of business. They're not going to jail.
You know what? And that's too bad. But that's the system of capitalism. No, that is not
the system of capitalism.
It is not the system. No, you're telling me what happened. It is not the system of capitalism. What it is that is the cronyism of capitalism, where they have bought off the politicians. That is wrong. There is a purism to what capitalism is. All right, that's what the real small businesses used to be. What has happened, and there's nothing wrong with large businesses, but when those large businesses take their money and they buy off the politicians, you know what happens, I know what happens. Therein is the crony part of crony capitalism. That should be a crime. It is a crime. It is a very tough thing to try to prosecute. And I'm not expecting everybody to be a goody two-shoes, whether you are rich or poor. But it's the opportunity that capitalism gives you. I do appreciate your call. 508-996-0500. That's how you get onto the program. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Yeah, I was listening to you earlier today and even tonight. You're talking about the VA system.
Yes.
I go through the VA system. I'm a Vietnam vet. I was drafted, got wounded twice. So I'm in the system. I've gone. And when I first got on the system, it was really just for those who were wounded. That's all you saw at the VA hospitals and all that. And then, I don't know if it was 15 years ago or so, it was opened up to every vet could go to the VA. So I know a lot of people I heard call today said, oh, they couldn't get into the VA. Well, they can. But what happens, my understanding what happens, is you have to pay a copay. Otherwise, you can go in for whatever, but you pay a copay because you weren't injured, that they're covering the whole thing. But even on your drugs, if you need medications for anything, anyone that's been in the service can go to the VA and get their medications at a fairly decent price, like something like $9 for a 90-day prescription of whatever you needed, no matter what the cost of the drug is. So any veteran out there who wants to get into the VA system, they can. All you have to do is go down to the VA itself, the hospital if you wanted to. You've got the vet center. Even downtown in the city of New Bedford, we have a veterans agent that you can go down to the city hall, talk to the veterans agent, and he can set you up, say, listen, this is what you can do. This is what you can get for benefits. So it is open to all veterans. If you have a VFW, if you have an American Legion next to you, they have what they call the service offices. Everyone has one. You can sit down to them, and they can explain all the benefits that you have. But just so everybody knows out there, if you are a veteran, you can get service through the VA. Again, if you were wounded, they're going to take care of the whole thing. If you weren't and you were just a service thing, which I'm not, I don't mean it that way, you were just a service guy, but if you were in any one of the services, Navy, Marines, Army, the whole bit, you can go through the VA. And again, if they have any questions, there's so many places out there, even the Vet Center, I don't know if I mentioned that, in Fayette, they can all help you and explain what you have. So I hate to have people call, a veteran call and say, no, they can't get service at the VA.
Well, maybe they tried and they got turned away. I mean, I didn't hear people saying that they tried and they said, well, you can get service. They were saying that they didn't qualify for a service.
Well, you know, and it's funny because when I went to the Vet Center, even today, because we have a meeting every week and stuff, the Vietnam vets, this was brought up. And it was even said by a lot of people there that a lot of people, they say they can't get it, but they actually never try. Now, I'm not saying someone's lying to you on the phone. I don't mean it that way. But all I'm saying is I looked it up to the VA, the whole bit, and this is what they're telling me, that they can get the thing. And you know, it would be nice sometimes, maybe, Brian, if you could call City Hall and get the veteran agent on the phone with you and have a little conversation where people could hear it. He could explain this probably a lot better than me, but I think it would ease a lot of people's mind out there is when they talk about the VA. I just figured I'd pass it along.
No, and I appreciate you doing that, and I think that's a great idea. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do appreciate it. Bye now. 508-996-0500. We have gone quite a bit here. Got to take a quick one.
I'm coming to Boston. I'm bringing hell with me.
This is WBSM.
That was A6. Hit.
Sounds like a battle, sir.
I-4.
Are you in trouble?
He sank my battleship.
You know, most people are not business owners, but just about everybody knows one. The dirty little secret is, most owners don't qualify for a bank loan because they lack collateral. At Legitimate Business Funders, owners can get up to $2 million in funding with no collateral, even with a low credit score. And they can get that funding in a couple of days. Find Legitimate Business Funders online at LegitimateBusinessFunders.com. LegitimateBusinessFunders.com.
Right. Back to Brian's Beat.
The supply chain is not part of the economy. The supply chain is the economy.
And when people disrupt the supply chain, you may not have capitalism the way that it's supposed to be. And, you know, we see it time and again. Big business, major big business, stalls and impedes the progress of the little guy. At any rate, I could go on and on about that. But the capitalism that we are seeing right now is not pure capitalism. When politicians can be bought, bribed, whatever you want to call it, that changes the system. You know, the supply chain goes a little bonkers where, you know, that money, instead of going into the business or helping another business get started, goes to the government to kind of stall things. 508-996-0500. Hello.
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 Is this Freedom Fools?
No, that's Saturday.
Oh.
This is just fool. Regular fool.
Oh, I was going to say, I heard a fool a few minutes ago. Not your last caller, the caller before, but, you know, it's funny. It's when I know people that when they lose change in a in a machine, they blame capitalism. Or when an airplane crashes, they blame capitalism, because it's always the answer for everything that goes wrong in their lives. And there's always this association when they talk a little bit further, like that crackpot caller, that there's evil directly connected to capitalism. But that's not the case, because, like, Bombas socks, you know, Bombas socks, the guys that they make socks and sell socks, but they give half of their socks to people that are homeless and that need socks. So is that capitalist business evil? Or are they doing something altruistic? So, you know, you just can't put everything in the same bucket. But a lot of these people that are anti-capitalists, capitalism creates money and creates
jobs.
Income, the jobs. And, you know, then they lean on socialism. But, you know, socialists are great because they're all shit. You know, they get together and everybody shares equally what is produced. Until the point where they get no more money because the capitalism has collapsed. And then what happens is called communism. And that's because when there's no more things to share, no more money to share stuff, then somebody comes in with a sickle and a hammer and says, now you're going to do it my way.
It does happen like that. Yeah.
And they kill a lot of people because they gotta project power as a communist. Then they tell you what little you're going to have. As you were, you think socialism was like going to heaven. So, you know, at the feet of socialism is millions of dead people, and communism is worse. So, you know, I wouldn't wish for capitalism to go away, because it creates opportunity. And you know what? If you don't like your job in a capitalist society, you can go to college, or you can get trained somewhere, or take on another skill. I mean, I moved to South Carolina. You know what I did? I got my real estate license. I've never sold real estate in my life, Brian.
And you're probably not going to sell any.
No. Yeah. Well, all I'm trying to say is you have opportunity all over the place with a capitalist society. So if you're having a bad day, if it's raining on you, it's probably not capitalism. So
it's probably not legitimate capitalism. Hey, thanks for the call. Just running out of time. Yeah. I appreciate it.
American people, politically ignorant and stupid.
WBSM. Bring out the helmets and bring out the... Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
My back is getting tight. I'm sitting here in traffic on the Queensboro Bridge tonight. I don't care, 'cause all I want to do is cash my check and drive right home to you. 'Cause baby, all my life I will be driving home to you.
I'm driving over to the store to get some of that Thanksgiving food. 39 across the board, Dartmouth.